Blog Talk Radio.
All right, I feel good today. Tell them how you feel, Gerald. Come on and get up. Let's praise. Come on, Holy Ghost. Talk about the Holy Ghost fire.
Holy Spirit, God residing, moving, having his way inside of each one of us, God's chosen people. Praise the Lord and welcome to Fire, the gospel experience that is dedicated to honoring the true and only living creator God. There is no other God. Let that be the first thing we realize. Now, talking about right now, beloved, is the time to let our minds, bodies, and souls be renewed and refreshed in our relationship with our great, wonderful, magnificent God, our Father. And there are not enough words in the human language that can adequately describe our gratitude and thankfulness to his beautiful Son, our Prince of Peace, our wonderful Messiah and Savior, Redeemer, none other than Jesus the Christ, right here on this fire gospel experience. Jesus the Christ is unashamedly, unapologetically, as well as unequivocally declared to be the only Redeemer. He's the only acceptable Lamb of God. He's the only chosen one with the keys of life, death, hell, and our beautiful gift of eternal life. And he also has keys to the grave. He's our only hope and light, y'all, for this lost, dark, and dying world that you and I are living in. Your spiritual aptitude We will be embracing from the book of Hebrews, the 13th chapter, 18th verse, where we look into the book where the writer of Hebrews shares the utmost importance of having a mindset that is free of pressures and hindrances for our world. How valuable it is to lay a firm Christian foundation and live in it with honor. Our reputation for doing and being good should hopefully precede us. So we're going to talk about your honor, and that falls right in line with my special guest, amazing, dedicated, committed women of God. These women of God are political candidates, and they are pursuing to serve God by serving the people. My special guest is already enthralled greatly into the area of politics. She is Representative Woman of God Vivian Flowers. And my other panel guest is also pursuing a political career, and this is Woman of God Kenesha Wooden Caldwell. They are residents here in Pine Bluff, Arkansas, seeking mayoral position, Representative Vivian Flowers, as well as Woman of God Kenesha Wooden, who is seeking the position that Representative Vivian Flowers will be vacating. And I'm telling you all, we're going to have a spiritual conversation and help us all understand how our faith, our Christian walk, can be so engaging and such a positive for those that are seeking political office. So listen, we're going to have a good time. I'm going to be shining my artist spotlight later on in the broadcast on gospel artist, Woman of God, Ranalia. She has music, she has testimony, and we're going to be blessed by God as we honor God and give God our highest praise as we consider all the good things God has done for us. And then, guess what? We're going to look around our lives and see who we can touch and be a blessing to them as God continues to bless us. We are so grateful, Holy Spirit God, for the work that you're doing in our lives, for keeping us, for protecting us, for shining the light of God's glory in us. We are blessed and privileged. We thank you now, and we thank you for lighting the fuse that's going to set this internet and radio airwaves on Holy Ghost, sanctified fire, fire, fire.
Where you at, East Coast? We going to the DMV. We'll be right back. Paul says it's good to be alive, but it's best to live. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, it's good to be alive, but it's best to live. And guess what? Guess what? That's what he got. Jesus is the door. That's what he came for.
That's what he came for. That's what we live in, to follow in his footsteps. Amen. Sounds of man of God, Brent Jones. Talk about living our best life. Did y'all hear him talking about reach over there to your neighbor? Yeah, we still reaching over to our neighbor every now and then, because we are looking to take care of one another. And how else better can we do that, other than by following the principles that are in the Bible and according to our Christian faith? Thank you, man of God, Brent Jones. Keep doing what you're doing. My special guest here, and it is that time of year, listeners, when the political agenda has taken the forefront of our attention. There are people out there that are seeking positions in city, state, and national government to help make our lives rise to a quality of life. The man of God, Brent Jones, got through singing about, talking about our best life. And my special guests are here. And these are young ladies that I am proud to say that I am not only a brother in Christ, but a friend as well. I invited them to this broadcast so that they can share with us the importance of understanding how our Christian faith can so widely connect with their pursuit in political government. Because if y'all haven't paid attention, I know you have. There's some laws that have been passed now that are just staggering and blowing my mind. I never would have believed it. But listen, I'm not going to try to get involved in the conversation without these blessed women of God. Woman of God, Vivian L. Flowers, state representative at the Arkansas House of Representatives. And she's going to share her story, her testimony, and her experience as well as woman of God, Kenesha Wooten Caldwell, seeking to take the position that our first special guest, woman of God, Vivian Bowers, is willing to vacate as she pursues the position of mayor in the city of Pine Bluff, Arkansas. You're talking about a contested ballot coming up. We got six candidates running for that position as mayor. So without any further ado, woman of God, Vivian Flowers is here. Woman of God, Kenesha Wooten is here on Fire, the Gospel Experience. Welcome, ladies. Welcome.
Thank you.
So happy
thank
to
you
have
for that,
ladies here with
that applause.
Well, my audience is excited when I put the promotions out there that y'all were coming to Fire the Gospel Experience and share your wisdom, your life experience and testimony. They just couldn't wait to sit down. I'm just as happy and I'm pleased as I could be myself. So welcome, woman of God, woman of God, Kenesha Wooten. Thank you for joining me on Fire the Gospel Experience. How y'all doing?
Thank you so much for having us. We're doing great. I'll speak for myself, because I know that Kenesha Caldwell is as well able to articulate and speak for herself. But I'll say that I am doing very well. I know that I'm blessed, at peace, real busy and slightly sleep deprived, but no complaints. I'm doing very well. Thank you for asking.
Amen, amen. Real
I'm
busy,
doing so
and I do
well,
understand.
Though.
Come on, Lady Kenesha.
Oh, I'm doing well also. Very excited to share on your broadcast this morning, to speak with the
Amen.
People, to address the
Amen.
People, and I just thank you for the opportunity to do so.
I thank you, ladies, both, for having such a heart that wants to be the better part, the best part of all of the solutions that are so many. It's just multifaceted issues that are upon us. And for you all to be willing to step into the arena of politics and deal with so many different issues on so many different levels, I commend you, and I am grateful to God that you all have this passion and heart's desire. I'm going to ask Lady Vivian Flowers, knowing that you are a woman of faith, a Christian woman, would you just share with my listening audience so that they can appreciate the fact that there are some Christian men and women that are in politics and that all politicians don't have tricks up their sleeves?
So, yes, I would be happy to speak to that. And I'll probably mix that up a little bit and first would share that my Christian faith is, of course, rooted in my exposure to Christianity and God and prayer from my parents. You know, they provided us that foundation when we were very young and attended, you know, AME church and then attended a non-denominational church in our latter childhood years. And that was really rooted in the Word. And I definitely, you know, have an appreciation for the religious and sort of cultural aspect of my spiritual life. It's very important. You know, we have to, and I always say this, I look at, you know, religion as sort of how I look at school. What religion is to faith and spirituality to me is what school is to knowledge. And
amen.
So we have the religious part where we go to school, you know, we pray with other like-minded people. We serve, some of us, hopefully a lot of us.
Come on.
And then you have the part where, you know, you are rooted in a relationship with God and you are filled with purpose and you're serving others mm-hmm. and you love other people mm-hmm. and you demonstrate that through action. You know, those are two different things, but definitely tied together. And I think one is important to the other. But at the end of the day, I think Christianity is most about what your relationship with God looks like.
Okay.
What the prayer life looks like. And that's what I'm working on real hard because a lot of us don't feel worthy. You know, we know we're sinners
yes.
and we come short. We know we're not worthy of all of the blessings, especially me, I'll say, because I've had such a good life in terms of, you know, the love of really good parents and getting a good education and, you know, just all those things really that I want for other children, for my community, for every kid especially who are so innocent in this world. And who we are charged with taking care of, you know, that's a lot of why I have been so committed and really impassioned about serving in this way because I was one of those kids in school that, you know, I was a nerd about history and civics, and I had some really good teachers.
Me too.
And I saw how, I'm sorry?
No, I said me too.
Oh, I thought you said something. I saw how, you know, the work of people in the public service arena in government to make a difference for a lot of people. So if you look in history, you've seen where policymakers have set policies about, you know, not using children especially, but people in general, whether people are underpaid or using child labor or enslaving people, all of those are about greed and cruelty, right? But if you have laws and policies in place to protect people so people can really be free, so people can really, like, so kids can get an education and not be, you know, abused or used for their labor, so vulnerable people can be paid for their work. You know, those are the things that I think is important to government. The first role of government is to protect the people. So all that to say, you know, my relationship with God and the purpose that I think God set for my life is about service first. And so, you know, it's not about a career. It's a part of it. You know, this is a job, right? But it's really about service to people and having compassion and understanding that there has to be balance between, you know, business and the worker. There has to be balance between government and the freedom of citizens. And I've studied it. You know, I've lived it. I have compassion for people, and I have an understanding of how to create and strike that balance in government and political and elected service. And so I'll stop there. Let me make this point, since you're asking specifically about Christian faith and this walk as a Christian woman of God through the process of, you know, running for office and through the process of serving people and representing people in office. You know, in the Bible, you'll see a lot of verses, a lot of texts, and in a lot of books about how people are supposed to obey and submit, right, to authority, to show honor and initiate their faith in demonstrating that respect for authority and submitting to authority. And, you know, I don't push back against that, but I think that that is a part of it, because you can only have that expectation of the people when elected and political leaders are doing what they're supposed to do. So it's not one or the other, it's both, as it relates to the word. And so it's, what's crucially important is that if you are entrusted and empowered by the people and ultimately by God to serve the people and protect the people, you have to do so with the fear of God and the reverence for God in your heart. And you have to honor the people you serve. They are not beneath you. They uplift you. They empower you. And I think when you see it like that, then you watch over your constituents. You do the things that you're supposed to do, but in humility. You lead as a servant and not as a king or a boss or a someone on high.
That's good.
And, you know, you set Christ-like examples while you protect people and guard your heart and guard their heart. So all of those things are really, really important. And I'll culminate my remarks by pointing to a verse in the Bible, Daniel 2 and 20 and 21. Praise be to the name of God forever and ever. Wisdom and power are his. He changes times and seasons. He deposes kings and raises up others. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the discerning. So my point in saying that is, this is not about me. This is not about anybody else running for mayor. It's not about anybody, any particular person running for any particular office. It is about service. And the understanding that if you are not in this for the right reasons and you don't serve people and you don't love God all at the same time and understanding what your role really is, you will be replaced. God will depose you and raise up somebody else. So these offices don't belong to people. This house seat doesn't belong to me. I'm very careful to say and usually remember to say that Kenesha Caldwell is running for the seat that I'm currently serving in. She's not running for my seat because it's not my seat. This is the people's seat. And the seat that I'm running for as mayor, it doesn't belong to the person who's in it. And it doesn't, you know, just because someone announces early or announces later or, you know, has support or money or doesn't have support or money, nobody owns it. It is my job as a candidate to step up and say, this is my experience. This is what I will bring to this office. This is how I will represent you. These are my priorities. This is how I plan to do those things. Please vote for me. Not to tear anybody else down and not to act like I'm entitled. I believe that I'm competent. I believe I can do the best job. And in that way, you know, I have to be ambitious. I have to understand that if I am called to do this work, that I've done this work, and I'm doing it with the right heart, then I have to demonstrate ambition and courage and credibility enough to say, this is why I'm the best person to do this job, and this is why I'm asking for your vote. So, there it is.
Yes, 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 yes. And all that is valid, and I appreciate you sharing that, woman of God, so that our listening audience can appreciate you as a Christian woman, and you kind of help move along in the conversation as we're going to get more into what it means to be a Christian believer, a person of faith, moving into the area of politics. So, woman of God, Kenesha Wooden Caldwell, introduce yourself. Tell us about how your life evolved into this Christian woman that you are now, seeking political office. What was your life like when you made a decision to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior?
Well, Ron, good morning, listeners. I am Kenesha Caldwell. I am from Pine Bluff, Arkansas, born and raised. And when I think about my Christianity journey, I automatically think about my grandmother, the late Betty Jean Legrone, and how she would wake us up every single Sunday. We would go to Sunday schools and church. We had choir rehearsal on Saturdays, on Wednesdays. We had Bible study. All of this cultivated me establishing a relationship with God. However, I go a little bit further than that. That relationship was established early on because that's what grandmother and them told us to do. However, I believe that as we grow as a people, we learn that it's not about Christianity. It's not about what you can do. It's about the relationship that you establish with God for yourself. And so although I've been, quote, saved or baptized when I was 8 or 9 years old, I would like to say that my relationship with God did not develop until I got to try him for myself. And I think that happened when I was about 19 years old, that I tried him for myself and I learned who he is, what he is, and the power that he holds over me. I am nothing without him. And so that's kind of like where I take this. Often when Vivian was talking, I thought about a scripture that when I decided to run, I was really praying, and we talked, and I asked God for confirmation. And when I opened my Bible, I went to Proverbs 31, and I believe it's 8 and 9, and it said, open your mouth for the mute, for the rights of all who are destitute, and open your mouth, judge righteously, defend the rights of the poor and the needy. And I take that to heart simply because the Bible also says the poor will always be amongst us, right? And oftentimes, those are the people who are challenged. We live in a socioeconomically challenged area. And so I want to be that voice for the people who don't have the opportunity to go and stand before the House and present things of concern for, you know, in regards to their community. And so Christianity to me, if you know anything about me, I boldly profess who God is to me. He is the Alpha and he is the Omega for me. And without him, Kenesha Caldwell does not exist, for I am nothing without him.
Yes, amen, amen, amen. Listen, what I would like for you to do before we get a response back from woman of God Vivian Flowers is, by you being a first-time person seeking political office, would you say that you are well prepared for the unexpected? I know that's kind of a catch-22 question, but a lot of people that would pursue political offices, they make campaign promises. I believe I give them the benefit of the doubt with all good intention. But then finally, leaving the safety of the dock, so to speak, and then getting into the waters of political office may find that there are sharks in the area. So how do we as voters get to a place of confidence that the promises that are made will be kept? Because it's one thing to make a promise outside of the area of your political aspiration, but then find out that there's a whole system, there's a whole network that are already in place, realizing that to be able to accomplish some things that were said in campaign may have to wait, may have to be transposed due to the whole negotiation of politics as a whole, being able to give and take properly. So are you prepared, woman of God, Kanisha, to be able to make the transition, to be flexible enough to be able to keep promises that are made as well as not compromise your Christian faith?
Absolutely, absolutely. I think this is a question that needed to be asked. A lot of people ask, how did I end up where I am, and what do I plan to do when elected as the state representative? First of all, let's visit this real quick, and I'll try to make this as short as I can. Back in March of 2023, I contacted Vivian because I was having problems with a big insurance company refusing to pay a claim that I had on the loss of my home. And so I reached out to Vivian, and I was speaking with her, and I was saying, you know, my daughter is graduating, and I feel now I can dedicate the time that I need to get more involved in the community, because don't ever think that I haven't been busy in the community. I've been in the community all my life. I've worked, I've advocated for different things, different people, different issues in the community forever. But I told her, I said, you know, I think I want to run for Alder Person of Justice of the Peace. And Vivian was so supportive. She was like, yes, you can do it. You're strong. You're this. But then after I went back and I thought about it and I prayed about it and I went into a quick fast, and I said, you know what? When I finished, God showed me where the people that were in those positions were doing the job, and that was truly their appointed, right, position in the community. And so I didn't need to run for anything. At that time, I kind of felt deflated, but I was like, okay, that's fine. But how many of you know that they that wait upon the Lord, right? And so
Amen.
Here I am thinking
Amen.
That I would serve on the local level. However, in October, one day, and I won't tell any of Vivian's because I think that's Vivian's story. But she was there. She was somewhere and thought to her and had been fasting and praying on her own. And she called me and she said, hey, what do you think about running for state representative? And at that time, I was like, no, I don't think so. And then I was like, yes, yes, yes. And I did all of that within seconds of each other, right? And I thought to myself, you know what, there's so much that can be done, so much that can be said, so much that can do. Because, you know, politics have a tendency to get dirty. I don't believe in dirty politics.
Yes.
But, you know, the politics has the chance, has the opportunity to either be good or bad. And most of the time we witness the bad. Anyway, moving forward, I decided to say yes. And so coming from a background of medicine, I believe that everything needs to be, how do I say this, scientifically based. I like for things to have structure and go forward. So in my campaign, I have not made any promises and that's the period with that. What I have made, what we call our issues and concerns that I would like to address. And those issues are things that I think as a community we can work on. With the mayor of Pine Bluff, we can work on, and serving as state representative. So those issues are mental health and parity. And people don't know what mental health and parity is, but basically if a person is arrested or or they come into contact with the police and things like that, most of the time they're enter into the jail system, and that doesn't help them, right? What happens is they end up in the jail and don't receive the proper care that they need. And so one of the things that I am, one of the issues that I want to try to tackle is providing the Delta with an area, with a mental health facility that would allow people to go in, receive treatment so that they could go back into the community and function as a viable citizen. The next thing that I want to work on is education, the retainment of our teachers, of our administrators. I often say this, have said this and fought for this, advocated for this for the Pine Bluff School District, which just so happens to be the school district I matriculated through. It's simply when we find educators, administrators that has a background in Pine Bluff, we'll find that they are rooted here, that they care about our children, and that they'll put in the work to make sure they prosper. And so that's my second issue, education. And my third one is the infrastructure and economic growth of Pine Bluff. And I, again, it's not a promise. It's just the work to be done. And so partner with Vivian, and I'm speaking that into existence, that Vivian will be our mayor, and whomever else. I'm going to work with everyone to make sure we put Pine Bluff back on the map, not as Crime Bluff, but as a prosperous city leading the future. I still believe, and I'll say it over and over again, Pine Bluff will become the oasis in the desert. People will seek Pine Bluff. It will be the next Black Wall Street. And I don't care how many people believe it, but I believe if we speak it, that God is a man, that he is not man, and he will honor our request. He says, ask and you shall receive. And so I'm speaking into existence that Pine Bluff shall prosper, that we will go forth, and we will be a great city again.
Absolutely. I certainly believe that. And listen, for all of you listening to this broadcast, amen. She preached that. Listen, for all of you listeners that are not residents in Pine Bluff, Arkansas for that matter, we are speaking in terms of generalizations of issues as well as resolutions to problems that we all may face. So what my special guests here to bring are solutions that can be applied to any city, any state that you're living in. And with that being said, Lady Flowers, we have a segment of people in every city in this great country of ours that seem to have lost confidence in politics, seem to have lost confidence in the voting system, but they are still here. And unfortunately, we still have the general issues of crime, of like Lady Kanisha said, housing is an issue, employment, and things like that. So what is it that you can suggest? I'm going to say in respect of other candidates, because we've had debates, and what are solutions that you feel qualified to be able to bring so that the citizens can regain or gain confidence in the people that pleaded for our vote, that campaigned for our votes? Some people said once gotten the vote, once you come to our church once every 4 years and gotten the vote, we don't hear from you again. How can confidence be restored, and how can we reach that segment of people that have just strayed away from any productivity in whatever city they live in?
Now, that's a really good question. So the first thing I want to say is, you know, just as you were speaking to Kanisha a few minutes ago, the point I'd like to make about politics is about the systemic flow and sharing and access to resources. When you look at political science, it is the study of, the very simple definition is, you know, it's the study of who gets what, when, where, and why.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so we're really talking about power. We're talking about resources. We're talking about access. We're talking about freedom. We're talking about protection. And there are political systems at work in life throughout every institution. So I don't care if you're talking about your workplace. I don't care if you're talking about your local, state, county, or federal government. I don't care if you're talking about your church or your place of worship.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care
mm-hmm.
if you're talking about your marriage and what happens in your house. There are politics in every aspect of life. You are not going to go anywhere and do anything, and there's not a dynamic that relates to power and authority and money or labor. All of those are defined by the political structure and the political systems in place. And to keep it really simple, you know, you're not going to work anywhere and not have somebody you answer to or be the person that everybody answers to, and people don't want their money. People don't want their productivity. People don't want their training. People don't want their supplies. You know, even when you boil it down to our police officers and how much allowance they get to buy their uniforms, all of that's based on politics. There had to be a vote to increase that amount. Or our police officers, you know, making $10,000 to $12,000 less even after their most recent raise than Benton, Arkansas, which has significantly less population than we do. So all of that is about politics. And when you decide I'm going to opt out of my role to, you know, optimize my fill in the blank, my power, my position, my pay, my benefits, my allowance, my chores, my duties, all of those are going to be based on somebody else's role or place in your life or decision making. So I would say, and I do say this to people, there are politics in everything. You are free, and you have more than likely have the right to vote. And what people don't know who have been convicted of felonies, they don't know that they can get their right to vote back in the state of Arkansas. So, you know, it's about knowledge and access to information, which is why, and as a part of answering this question, I'm very committed to and have demonstrated a commitment to not only the democratic process and the power and the sanctity of the vote, but also for the role of government in particular and our responsibility to communicate with people, not just on an individual basis, but on people being able to access information. You know, I mean, one of the things that I have done very successfully is get legislation passed to strengthen and protect the right to vote, so much so that a Republican-controlled Secretary of State adopted my legislation as part of its package and its agenda for the session. I think that was back in 2017. I have supported quote-unquote sunshine laws so that our Freedom of Information Act was expanded for everyone under the authority of FOIA. They had to, after my legislation was passed, they were required and still are required to at least audio record, if not video record, the proceedings of public meetings and make those recordings available to the public electronically for at least a year. That is required because society has changed. Everybody can't make it to the city council meeting. Everybody can't attend the legislative committee meeting. But they deserve to know what's happening with their government and what our oversight looks like and how we're spending public dollars.
And they should be able to easily access that information. They should not have to call anybody to say, will you please give it to me?
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? So the point I try to make to seniors and young people alike is the power is yours to vote. The public dollars are yours to oversee and to make sure are expended by the people who say they're going to vote for you. And there are no guarantees. What you have to do is stay in the process the same way you keep going to work, the same way you stay in your household and you pay your bills and you stay married or you get a divorce or whatever you have to do to make sure that, you know, you're taken care of, that the family's taken care of, your children are taken care of, that your life is, that you are secure in this life. All of that has to do with you doing your part to make sure others do their part.
Amen. Amen. I agree with that. Listen, ladies, you are breaking down some very much needed information. And as one of my favorite all time social conscious rappers, KRS, who says, and his name stands for Knowledge Reign Supreme. That is also.
Yes, I did not know you were a KRS-One fan. Yes.
that's what he said. Knowledge Reign Supreme. And even the people can quantify that, letting us know that without a vision, the people perish. And that vision certainly and definitely includes knowledge. You're listening to Fire the Gospel Experience. And I'm going to be right back with these very knowledgeable, very passionate, very spirit-filled women of God, woman of God, Representative Vivian Mills, woman of God, Kanisha Wooten, who are in pursuit of positions of not just power, but as they have stated so eloquently, servitude, because really they are servants that are being led by the man God himself, who came to serve in his own word, not to be served, but to serve. Now, you can't get it no better than that. You're tuned to Fire the Gospel Experience. We have servants' hearts that here on this Fire Gospel Experience. And we're sharing with you some truth about politics that need to be discovered. And like, so many people have said, where is the truth? Where can understanding be found? Well, you're getting some of it right here. Here's man of God, Jeanette Holmes, that's saying, once you get truth, once you get knowledge and understanding, you go ahead and say, yes, Lord, use me as you see fit.
Because of your grace, I am still here. That is why my soul says yes. That is why my soul says yes. Yes, Lord.
Got it?
That is why my soul says yes.
Oh, that is You are listening to Fire, the gospel explosion where the praises are going up and the worries are going away. Playing for you the best and the newest gospel music on the planet and the most inspiring encouragement under God's heaven. Keep tuning in and bless your family, your friends, and your coworkers by telling them about Fire.
Fire, the gospel experience. We are your internet radio broadcast evangelistic program, declaring Almighty God as the creator, the Bible as his words of truth, and we as individuals are reaching out to share our testimony to others so that souls might be saved. That is our whole intention, to honor God and to share our faith with someone else that they may know God as we do. With that being said, woman of God, Kanisha, one of the issues that faces, I'm sure, every body of government at every level is corruption. I'm sure that it is an issue about how funds are being properly or improperly allocated. That has been an issue here in Pine Bluff, Arkansas. We have entities here that are seeking to help develop Pine Bluff in different areas, in housing, in social events, in buildings that will bring, I would say, revenue to our city. But then there's the issue, and many people have questioned the reliability of how money is properly spent. And I'm certainly going to address that to you, woman of God, Representative Vivian Flower. But woman of God, Kanisha Wooden, so that people will understand that you do have some insight into the issues politically and socially that are affecting Pine Bluff, as well as, I'm sure, every other city in this great country of ours. How would you suggest that we gain confidence in how our tax bills, how our tax money is being properly spent? What would you suggest, and how would you confront corruption?
Well, the first part is, I think that was a two-part question, and I'll probably ask you to repeat some of it again, but I'm going to tackle it as best as I can offhand. Yes, there has been some corruption in Pine Bluff. It's not for me to say whether or not it's true or false. I believe everyone is guilty, is innocent until proven guilty. And so I think that the solution to that is left up to the people. The people must elect government officials that are willing to be transparent, have accountability, and is willing to do the job. And when I say that, I'm not throwing stones at anyone, and I'd like to point that out, because I believe that every candidate has good qualities and they have some qualities that we may not like, okay? But what I stand on is that with me, I plan to be very transparent. I plan to be accountable, and I plan to keep the people opinion, their thoughts, their needs and wants out front first and foremost. And so it's not about Kanisha, because it's not the state representative for District 65 for Kanisha. It's the state representative of District 65 for the people. And so that's how I would tackle the corruption in Pine Bluff, just doing my part to make sure that I'm not, you know, corrupt. I told my mom when I first started doing this, she was concerned. She said, well, Kanisha, you know, how do you plan on doing this? I said, Mom, I'm going in to serve the people. I'm going to serve God first. I'm going to serve the people, and I'm going to be like Obama. I'm going to get in, and I'm going to get out without scandal. And so that's my intention.
Yes.
Right. That's right.
Amen. Amen. I appreciate that. Woman of God, dear Flowers, it seems like there should be entities that can be put in place to provide and audit a certain amount of transparency when it comes to the funds, because we had a recent tax vote that failed, and a lot of people did not vote because they felt that the money was not being properly handled, was not being in trustworthy hands, there was not enough transparency.
wouldn't it be a solution to be able to formulate some sort of oversight, auditors or whatever it takes, so that how the funds are being moved and appropriated and transformed to other areas can be publicly known? I heard you say that we shouldn't have a searching for it, and I agree.
That's right. It should be easily accessible, too.
Yeah. Is it just something difficult to put a neutral body in place so that we can gain confidence on how our tax dollars are being spent and moved?
Let me say this. It's not hard, and it's there to be done. I think it's about the will, and it's about the leadership in place. I know that when I worked for the Bureau of Legislative Research, and granted, the Internet was relatively new at that time, and technology was expensive, but even then, the state started making information about bills more accessible to the people. So, one of the things that I plan to do as mayor is to not only make our budget current and historically accessible to people to be able to view and review, but also, our boards and commissions, our minutes, the who is serving in these roles, how do you contact those folks? Those are things that should be readily available. How long their terms are,
yes.
Who appointed them. Those are things mm-hmm. that people should be able to easily see, and right now it's not there. Right now, it is the law that boards and commissions and state departments that are conducting meetings, city meetings, and have minutes, and it might just apply to the city council and the boards and commissions, but that those be sent to the clerk's office so that the clerk can disseminate that information when requested. Even that's not being done. And there's a law in place. There's an ordinance in place. So a part of it is making sure that the laws and the ordinances are passed so that these things can be required, right? But the other part is actually implementing it. What are the teeth involved? What happens if you don't do it? All of those things are really important. And finally, as it relates to the ordinances and resolutions, copies of all draft and past ordinance and resolution should be made available on the Internet. People should be able to go in and see. If I can't make it to the meeting, but my city councilman or my city councilwoman has proposed something that's going through the process, I should be able to go in and see what that legislation looks like so that I can weigh in, so that I could submit public comments and it be made available to the city council. If it can't be in real time because I can't be there, it ought to be in the packet, or there ought to be something that's transmitted to that to the mayor and to the city council subsequent to the meeting, because they might see it online. Those are things that we can do, and that technology is not expensive anymore. That's the only reason I think I was able to get my bill through that required those under the authority of FOIA to have to at least audio record their meetings and then make those recordings available to the public, because now you can do that on your phone. You can go pay, $50 for a very sophisticated, piece of equipment, a recorder, a digital recorder, and then submit that MP3 file and send it to yourself on a free email, right, on Gmail or Hotmail or any kind of other mail that's free, and then you can
come on.
Maintain that in your email records for a year. So if you are a small, board or a small municipality, or a township, you can do that all for free. If you are a rural fire department, and I think that the city of Pine Bluff is well-resourced and well-heeled enough to be able to make those connections with the very people who fund our government so that they can see what we're doing, and we as citizens don't have to make a phone call and wait for information. And really, if you look at it, that is a cost saving to government, because when you make as much information as you can available to the public and the press, you don't have to spend quality, work time on the part of city staff sending out and redacting information to people making the request. They can just go get it.
Yes.
You can just send a link. You know, so we have to use technology and innovation in a way to not only be communicative and be transparent and thereby being accountable, but we can also do it to be efficient. And that's something that I've committed to bringing to city government in the city of Pine Bluff.
I certainly agree with that, ladies. We have just run out of time. I'm certainly going to have you come back, because I do wish this conversation got going. The time was going to be like heaven, be eternal, just fly by. And I'm going to say this, though. There are some commonalities that I've noticed with citizens in general as well as Christians. A lot of times, Christians, I'm talking about us, we don't always read our Bible. We don't always pray, but we go to church and we depend on the pastor or the teacher or deacons to supplement us with everything we need. But as residents, we cannot be apathetic and lethargic. We have to be intentional when it comes to our own citizenship, amen, our own residency.
Amen.
We have to, those of us that are involved and motivated has got to be able to reach out to others and encourage them to get involved. A lot of times you don't hear people wanting to get involved until some scandal has broke loose, or there is just this urgent issue that has come about. And now the rooms are flooded. We need to come and be attending in our city council meetings. We need to, like you said, understand what it is that is being done in our government for our own understanding. We don't always just have to trust what the pastor is teaching and preaching, but we need to go to the Bible and study for ourselves so that we'll know. That's how we build up a foundation for our own faith. So, ladies, listen, I certainly want to appreciate you. I'm going to ask you all to give us closing remarks, words of wisdom, encouragement. Lady Kenesha Wooten, give us your final thoughts before you leave us, my dear.
Final thoughts. That's a tough one. Let's see. I just want to take this time to encourage everyone. Often I've heard that my vote does not count, and I want you to know that your vote counts. It's not only a vote that people died for, but it's a vote for you to live for. We have to look forward to the future, and the only way that we're going to make progress is for you to make it your decision to utilize your voice and to make your choice so that it will positively affect our future. I believe in Pine Bluff. I have hope, and I know once again that Pine Bluff will return to its prosperous state. I believe in you, Pine Bluff. Let's go out and make it happen. Kenesha Caldwell, your candidate for State Representative District 65.
Amen. That's beautiful. Just like a phoenix that rose from the ashes, turned into a beautiful creature that resurrected and had life. I'm going to say this, and I'm glad you said what you said, Lady Kenesha, because as I vote on a regular basis, I feel obligated for our ancestors, our patriot and our matriot that did not have this right to go and vote. I vote on their behalf. They had not that opportunity to vote. They didn't have that privilege. It was institutionally and systemically denied. And so I'm voting on their behalf. So I have to be a wise voter. So I'm so glad you said that. Lady Vivian Flowers, your final thoughts.
Thank you so much. First, I want to thank you for what you do. It is not lost on me that it takes time and really commitment
to do what you do, and making information and voice and people and just the opportunity for people to hear what they ordinarily wouldn't hear. It takes planning, and you make it look real easy. Like we just all were talking, like, hey, let's get online on Saturday. And I know there's a lot more involved in that, so I want to thank you very much for providing this opportunity and providing it in this way for both Kenesha and I can speak with you together, because we are running together. People say, oh, you shouldn't do that, and, you know, talk about the politics. And look, I'm very emphatic that I am in staunch support of her. And, you know, not just because I support her, because we have a plan to work together to harness resources mm-hmm. for our respective districts, mine, Pine Bluff, hers, District 65, to the benefit of the people in Pine Bluff and in this region. We are dogmatic and dead set about making sure that we are serving and that our service means something in the way of real outcomes for people's lives. Like, that's what we are working for together. And, you know, one thing that people will see on my materials is my slogan, Together Pine Bluff Wins. I'm very serious about that. It's not just a slogan. It is the way that I plan to lead. And it really is the way that I have led. And it kind of speaks to the question that you asked me just before the closing remarks. You know, people can be certain that I will not be someone who is, now I'm going to be busy, and I'm not going to pretend that once you're in the work, you have time to chit chat on the phone and, you know, go to everybody else's church. I really haven't been one of those leaders that pops up at people's churches. I go when I'm invited. And,
that's right.
You know, that is because, and when I go, I stay the whole service. So
that's right. That's right.
Right. But what one thing people have seen from me consistently is after sessions have ended, I bring together all of my colleagues as a delegation, or my colleagues in the Pine Bluff delegation, or it might be just Ken and me. And we have town halls. I've held town hall series when I was Legislative Black Caucus chair. I made sure to do that because people want to be heard. And because if I want people to be engaged and involved, I have to do my part. They're not going to want
That's
to be
right.
engaged and involved unless and until they know what I did, what's going on, how what you did or didn't do, or how these folks, you know, and these bills going to affect me in my life. Those are the things that I have done and demonstrated for almost 10 years as a legislator, and even before that, when I worked for other people's campaigns and when I worked for the Legislative Black Caucus. That is a part of my leadership DNA, is communication, transparency, and accountability. I'm not perfect, but I'm not going to lie to my people, and I'm not going to sell them out, ever. And,
Amen.
You know, what I'd like to leave with you and your listeners is that two things. My priorities are based upon the needs of the city right now and into the future that have not been adequately addressed, so that we stop losing population, stop losing jobs, stop losing our kids to other school districts, and stop losing our kids to the streets. If we do not address those issues, we will not be restored. We will not be restored as a city and as an economy. I don't care how many buildings we put up. I don't care how many taxes we pass. We have to address our youth and support them and undergird them and teach them and expose them. If we are expecting them to stay here and go to school, to stay here and open businesses, to stay here and start families, to stay here and buy homes, that is why our community is declining so much. We are the fastest growing declining MSA or city in the country. And that's not something for us to sit on our laurels and be depressed about, because we also have a great history. We also have a great infrastructure.
we also have great workers and people. And, you know, you've heard Tanisha talk about, she's from Packingtown. Our port area is incredible and vast, even still in the wake of losing jobs. We can do something with the resources we have now and work together to lead this city and lead this region to not only restoration to what we keep talking about we used to be, but we can surpass that and be an example for other cities across this country. I'm committed to leading in the way, in a way to get us there, but I cannot do it by myself. No mayor, no city council, no anybody can do it by themselves. But you have to be able to bring people together. I've demonstrated I've done that. And second, I have over 30 years of experience in leadership as a as an elected official, as a staffer, as a policymaker on boards and commissions, as a public servant. And I don't just sit, quote unquote, on these boards and commissions. I don't sit in a seat. I work. I work and I serve people behind the scenes without putting them on Facebook and trying to get credit. I work and I serve people, to help my community, to help our kids. That's what I do, and that's what I will do as mayor.
Amen. I certainly appreciate that. How can you reach, how can you be contacted in case listeners would like to engage you in conversation or whatever the case may be, in business context?
My website is votevivianflowers.com. My number is 870-329-8356. And we, as the kids say, we in there. are out in the community. We in there. As they say, 10 toes down, on four flaps, however you want to put it, we are committed.
Yeah.
We are out in the community. I'm going to be out there today putting out signs, sharing my brochures across the city and different businesses and at barbershops and beauty shops. So, you know, and I will be campaigning that way throughout until March 5th. And if there's a runoff, and I'm praying and believing that we will win this outright, but if there's a runoff, we will be campaigning just as hard, if not harder, in the runoff. So, you know, I want people to feel, give me a little time because we are busy, but we are responsive. And, you know, don't hesitate to contact other people on the campaign committee. Contact me anytime, either on social media. I'm on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, or now as that's X, and TikTok. And of course, you can reach me on the phone and information on my website. Again, votevivianflowers.com with our slogan, Together Find Our Friends.
And Lady Kanisha, how can you be contacted if anyone wants to make business contact you as well?
Well, I have a website up. It's KanishaCaldwell.com, and it's spelled KanishaCaldwell.com. And you can go on there. That's on my website. You can find out who I am, my issues. You can also make a donation, and you can sign up to volunteer as well. Also, you can give us a call at 501-291-1898. And I want to go back up and say this. We have a very cool fundraiser coming up, Ron, that I want to share with the people real quick. On February the 18th, we want everyone to come out. Vivian and I are giving a fundraiser, a jazz and gospel fundraiser. It's going to be a brunch. It's going to be one for the books. We have Tori Delaney. We have some special guests. Someone even said the future governor of Arkansas may be in the building. And the youngest mayor to date may also be in the building. So we want everyone to come out and enjoy an evening, an afternoon of dining with us. Again, you don't have to cook that Sunday. It's February the 18th. And it's going to be on Harding Street. And Vivian, if you can help me with that address, I believe that that address for the
For
the 2402 East Harding, yes.
And we're going to be in there. Tickets are only $30. We want you guys to contact us again. Give us a call whenever you can or you want. If you want information about the tickets, my number is 501-291-1898. We hope to see the entire community there for an afternoon of fun and loving on each other. My pastor often says, go be loved today. And so I hope that everyone come out and experience the love that we have to give to the community on February the 18th.
Amen. Amen. Listen, ladies, I certainly appreciate
this
all
so
the time
rich.
And
Thank
the effort
you so
that,
much.
That you all have spent with us. You all have certainly blessed us. Looking forward to any additional interviews. If you want to come back, if I take too long, get in touch with me. We'll be more than happy to have you come back and let you share your Christian testimony, your experience in life, and however God leads you. I'm just thankful to say that you are my sisters in Christ as well as my friends and fellow citizens right here in Pine Bluff, Arkansas. Thank
you.
You
will
so
be
much,
the first interview
God
we
give
when we win.
Amen. Thank you so much, ladies. God bless you all.
Absolutely. You're welcome.
Thank you.
My dear sisters, Representative Vivian Flowers, as well as woman of God, Kanisha Wooden-Caldwell, right here at Fire Gospel Experience. Yes, we have dedicated people in the arena of politics. They are here to change things up, make things more positive, make things more pleasant, to help bring a certain quality of life to us all. This is really what it's all about. Thank you so much, please. I encourage every one of you to get out and vote. I'm a neutral bystander for this broadcast because I want all candidates. If you're out there, you listen to this broadcast, and you want to come and be a special guest on this Fire Gospel Experience, I am here as a neutral facilitator. I have my desires. I like who I like, but I'm not here to pressure anyone or persuade anyone. I let these candidates speak for themselves, and that's good enough for me. You tuned in to Fire the Gospel Experience. Yes, don't worry. We do have my Shine Artist Spotlight coming up, and I want you all to stay right there because you're going to be blessed by a young lady that's waiting in the wings. I can't wait to bring her on. She heard the broadcast. I invite people all the time. I said, you get in touch with me, and I'll be glad to have you sit in that Shine Artist Spotlight seat. And that's what she did. Talking about one of God Renavia. And she has a song, Never Alone. And it's a beauty. It is such a blessing. It is such a beautiful song to just let God embrace us and we embrace him. But right now, here's the Northern Delaware Gospel Music Workshop of America Choir. Because when you know what you know and you put your vote with the right people, trusting in God and trusting in the people of God, you'll be more.
Make some noise! Hallelujah! Oh, clap your hands, all you people, and let's shout out to God with a voice of triumph. Come on, clap your hands, y'all. For they in all these things, we are more than conquerors. Yo! Come on, NDC, let's sing.
Conqueror.
Say, I can do all things.
I can do all things. Hello, I'm Pastor Derek Easter, and you are listening to Fire, the gospel experience where the fire is a moving, uplifting, and unrestrained experience of biblical inspiration and gospel music. I pray that this fire radio ministry will uplift your spirit and give you new strength. Keep it tuned in and bless your family, friends, and coworkers by telling them about fire on this station.
Amen, amen. That's my pastor, y'all, Pastor Derek Easter over there at New Saint. We came right here in the city of Pine Bluff, Arkansas, 3301 North Ohio, South Ohio. We're on the south side of Ohio, yeah. And right there at Ohio and 33rd, our school starts at 10 a.m. You're welcome to come and join us. And our morning worship service starts at 11 a.m. So feel free to come and fellowship with us. We ain't trying to steal you from your church. Just come by and visit if you don't have a church home. We ain't trying to pressure, recruit you. We just want you to come and see the joy of the Lord that we have. Amen. It goes right there. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Pastor Easter. My shine on the spotlight guest is here. This amazing woman of God is going to bless you all. She is here to share her testimony, and we're going to absolutely play her music because, hey, she got it like that. And I'm telling y'all, she loves Jesus that I can hear right there. I know she's been through some things that God has brought her through, and I'm not going to tell her story. I'm going to tell it on her own. My special guest, woman of God, Renata, is here on Fire, the Gospel is Good. All right, Lady Renata, come on in the room, woman of God. How you doing?
It's absolutely a blessing to be here.
Amen. You sound like you blessed and highly favored and highly favored. You hear that? Flavored and favored.
Favored, that's favored.
I got that from a special guest of mine, woman of God, the Archbishop, Archduchess of Divinity. She hit me with that, and I said, girl, that hit a spot right there. So I'm going to share that, and I'm going to make everybody know that I got that from you. Blessed and highly favored and favored. Amen. Woman of God, welcome to the God's experience. You're in that shine on the spotlight. Before we play the new music, your project, Never Alone, I played it before. It has blessed me so much. You reached out to me. I'm glad that you did because now here you are, and we want a little bit about yourself before we play your music. Tell us who you are, woman of God.
I am gospel recording artist, Ronelia. Outside of being a recording artist, I am a mom of two daughters and a grandmother of a grandson.
Okay.
I absolutely was called into ministry. I thought God had called the wrong number. I said, I don't know what you're talking about. He called me. I have been blessed to minister for 8 years. I've done concerts, I've done shows, I've spoke at different churches, given my testimony, and whatever God lays on my heart, you know, I put it down, I write it down, and it becomes, you know, a song that blesses many, and I'm grateful for it. I'm grateful to be chosen. I'm grateful to be used, and I'm just continuing in that as he sees fit.
Amen, amen. I'm really shocked and surprised, but, you know, the Bible says that God will preserve you. You said you're a grandma. I'm like, man, you can't be but about 32, 33 years old grandmother. You know God is keeping you, woman of God. It's all right.
You need to add, like, 10 more years to that. But, yeah.
Amen.
I am fine. I'm grateful. I'm blessed.
Amen. The Bible says that God will, he will preserve us as the eagle flies upward. And I simply believe that that's a blessing from God. How he retains us as we continue to age, God has his hand of preservation over our lives. Tell us about this project, Never Alone. I'm sure you've been through some situations where you probably either felt like you were alone or you knew you were never alone. And you said, I'm going to sing a song about it one day.
Well, there is a story behind this song. It's an amazing one. So there is another artist featured on this song by the name of Stephanie Kay. I am a fan of Stephanie Kay's music. I have been for years. And I watched her.
Mm-hmm.
I watched her shows. I watched her preach. Well, one day I was watching her do one of her concerts, and I noticed something in what she was doing. And I sent her a Facebook message, and I said, do you battle with autoimmune diseases? Now, of course, I didn't think she was going to respond to me, you know, because,
okay,
you know, she's she's a big-time artist. I was like, she's not going to answer me. And I said it in the message, you know, do you deal with autoimmune diseases? Because I noticed something in your concert, and I am a recording artist that also deals with it. She responded to me, long story short, we have been friends ever since. That was 5 years ago.
Wow.
I found out that she did battle a lot of autoimmune diseases. I battle with multiple sclerosis. Now, God has blessed me. I don't look like what I go through, but God has blessed me tremendously. You know, and
Amen.
So in that, she and I, we've gone through a lot where we kept each other, we prayed for each other, we covered each other. Now, we're about 3.5 hours apart in distance. But we always said over all these years, it was about 3 to 4 years, we always said, one day we'll do a song together. Of course, I never believed her. I said, she's a song with me, you know. But we always said, one day we'll write a song about our struggles. We'll do that. We'll do that. Well, fast forward. I had left my label, and I became an independent artist again, and I went with a production company, RTD Productions, and I was in the studio working on the song, and, you know, I said, hey, you know, I really would want to do a song with Stephanie K. He says, she's an amazing artist. I said, oh, you know her? He said, yeah, her music is anointed. Her production is great, right? I said, yeah. He said, she's my I said, I'm sorry, I don't understand. She's hours away from here. He said she travels here and does her music. If you want, if you get permission from her, we can do this song right now.
Amen.
That was all she wrote. It was God's timing. It was God's perfect timing.
That's right. That's right. Amen. That's how He operates.
That's exactly how He operates. So we came together and we did that song. She came down and we did the video, and you know we were able to tell our story. We were able to be real. Those tears in the video, those were real tears. It was an anointed experience.
Hey, man, I'm going to have to pull that video up, woman of God. I haven't seen the video, but listen, here is my special guest in the Shine Out of Spotlight, and she's shining right now, testifying about how mysteriously our God works things out. That's why we put our full weight of confidence and faith in Him, because we might be able to see down the road, but He can bend them corners, and He can see all around. Here's woman of God, Renee. You're talking about never alone, because that's His promise.
Never alone in everything and in every season. We are never forsaken. We are never forgotten. You promised to be there, and we are never, never alone. Forgotten. Oh, oh, oh.
promised he would never leave us and he would never forsake us. Lord Jesus, thank you, woman of God, Renelia, for that beautiful, beautiful song. That's going to be one of those gospel classics. I'm just going to speak it. How about that? I'm going to speak it. I ain't going to take it back either. Beautiful song, woman of God. I appreciate you. Looking forward to being able to spend more time with you here on this Fire Gospel Experience. Looking forward to your new music. When you get it out there, give me a call. We'll get you back on this platform so we can celebrate with you as you celebrate our God. How about that? Can we do that? Can we work that out?
Absolutely can. I'll be back.
Amen. Woman of God, well, there you're here on this Fire Gospel Experience. Y'all heard it. She said she'll be back, so don't worry. She'll be back before you know it. Yes, she'll be. Thank you, woman of God. Listen, woman of God, I can't let you get out of here unless you let us know how you can be contacted for booking. There's going to be all kind of events going on in 2024. Pastors, concert promoters, event people are going to hear this broadcast. They're going to demand that you be there. How can you be reached for booking, and where can your music be downloaded? And tell us about your social media contacts, Facebook, Instagram, whatever you got going on, so my listeners can continue to support you.
Sure, thank you for that. You can find me booking information wise at my website, www.renelia.com. That's RONNELIA. I can be found on Facebook at Renelia Sing. I can be found also on Facebook at Just Renelia. I can be found on Instagram at Renelia Sing. And you can download my music anywhere, Tidal, Amazon, Pandora, Spotify, iTunes. Just simply do a search. You can do a Google search if you like for Renelia. Also, YouTube, all of my videos are on there as well. So, again, that's RONNELIA, and I look forward to connecting with you.
Amen. We look forward to watching God just bless your socks off. Amen. Thank you again, woman of God. We love you in Jesus. Woman of God, Renelia, y'all. She was in my shine. Artist spotlight. Not going to let her get away without letting y'all know how y'all can get in touch with her, how y'all can hit her up on Facebook, Instagram, and how y'all can call her to be at y'all Women's Day and y'all Revival and all of that good stuff. Listen, you're tuned in to Fire the Gospel Experience. I want to share a little bit about your honor from the book of Hebrews, the 13th chapter at verse 18 is where we're going to be starting our conversation. Amen. Listen, honor is a beautiful thing, but you got to earn it. Nobody is just going to give it to you just because you asked for it. You got to show yourself worthy to receive honor. Amen. So listen, the word of God says, pray for us. We are sure that we have a clear conscience and desire to live honorably in every way. And I had to come back and try that again in another version of the Bible, which breaks it down just a little bit more, because y'all know I like to try to be as effectual as possible. And from the Message version of the Bible, it says, pray for us. We have no doubt about what we're doing or why, but it's hard going, and we need your prayers. All we care about is living well before God. Pray that we may be together soon. Now, the writer of Hebrews, who many have ascribed to be the Apostle Paul, made it impressionably clear that the first order of business is the necessity of prayer, which clearly explains for those insightful enough to discern why there is such an adversity, an adversarial spirit pointed against prayer. This God-hating and God-indifferent world that we live in sees prayer as an unessential irritant, like digging into their sore wound of unbelief. So we believers in Christ value the beauty of prayer as a precious time of intimacy in communicating with the great creator of all things, Almighty God. So as we strive to obtain honor as our plaque of dignity, let us get and receive prayer as our vital spiritual lifeline with God. We have all heard the expression of respect given to those in the judicial offices to meet out what we come to expect, hope, and pray for, which is justice, as your honor. But let us be about the business of living honorable lives at the level of life where we are. 1 Timothy 3:7 says, moreover, he must be a man, a person of good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. Paul said to his protege Timothy, it is vital to have a good report. Now, we are called to live up and out front in the visible sight of this world of unbelief that we are believable people, trustworthy, and without reproach. None of us are perfect. We all have our valleys to dredge through and our hills to climb. We may stumble and fall, but by God's grace, we are able to regain our footing and continue to press on by his grace and by our confession. Now, this means that we believers in Christ must stay on our guard of our behavior, language, and public posture as a result of living the best and right inner intentions that flow in an outer expression of who we truly are. It goes together. What's inside of us is going to come out sooner or later. Hebrews 13:18 again says, pray for us. We are sure that we have a clear conscience and desire to live honorably in every way. Then let us be a people that have obtained proper and right information, biblically first, so that we can properly filter through the mass of external news and information set before us. This process allows us to maintain a clear conscience and to be a vigilant light of righteousness and proper protocol. We believers in Christ will be name-called and blamed when we directly choose to draw the lines. Talk about the lines of holiness, the lines of righteousness. We are called to be the influencers for what's right in the sight of God. We have seen the aimless results of men leaning on their own wisdom and collapsing right before our eyes. So, to keep our clear vigilance of scrutiny, we seek to regularly and routinely examine ourselves. This will provide us with the buoyancy of righteous objectivity. This will be a vital component in our faith walk. When oppression, pushback, and retaliation comes for our staunch inflection of following the patterns of Holy Scriptures, so, yes, we still give honor where honor is due. Our advantage in regard to honor is that we ascribe for the honor of God being placed on its true believers, that God will honor us, that God will give us the honor that we need to move forward in his name. So as we have made it our clear declaration to honor God first and foremost above all else. Matthew 6:33 says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things shall be added unto you. We're talking about honor, your honor, not just those that are sitting behind high places of honor in the justice hall wearing black robes with a gavel. Talking about your honor as well, because we all have a place in God where we can demonstrate the love of God. Amen. Goes right there. Here's new music from Nunso City Rock, Easy. Talking about God's love on this fire gospel experience. And love is a great component of honor. Talking about the love of God, the agape love, that self-sacrificing God with no strings attached. Love. God's love. Yes, indeed.
Somebody say God's love is steadfast. Say God's love is steadfast. He said it is new every morning. It is not renewed every morning.
Many, many things I wish to say. Let's make the things where I don't see. Even when I still missing myself, you gave your life for me. Now to you I give myself. in the sky, the moon and the stars, you're the ruler of the whole world. My daddy, yeah. Lord of all creation, beginning and the end, let everything that has been testified. The ruler of the universe. You're my daddy, my daddy, my daddy, my daddy.
I cannot tell you all.
Every morning, it is not renewed every morning, it is not replenished every morning, it is new, it is as brand new as it was yesterday, as it will be tomorrow. You cannot offend God. He loves you so much that he gave you the one thing that matters most, his only son, and in that he has given us all things.
Yes, yes, the love of God. Thank you, man of God. None so city rock easy. I want to thank Praise Camp Entertainment for sending that new music, and you certainly blessed us, and you blessed us real good. I want to thank my special guests, those amazing women of God here in Pine Bluff, Arkansas, Representative Vivian Flowers and woman of God, Kanisha Wooten. Y'all blessed us. Oh, my God. We are so grateful that you are the women, the people that you are, and how God is using your life. Thank you again, woman of God, Renelia, for being in my shine on the spotlight and for shining for our Lord Jesus so very brightly. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Just want to leave you all with one final word, if I may. And this was from my Facebook page friend, woman of God, Kimberly. Thank you so much, Edwards Bragg. She posted, when you operate in your gift, you don't have to be at the head of the table. Wherever you sit or stand, the table will shift. Lord Jesus, now if that ain't honor, I don't know what is. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Women of God, y'all are so blessed. I'm just happy to have y'all in my life on this fire gospel experience. I think I'm going to give y'all some good old school music before we get out of here. They got some traditional music now. They got kind of a contemporary groove to it. I want to see what y'all think, because y'all going to get some of everything right here on this fire gospel experience. I have no shame. I'm going to play the anointed music that these people of God produced. Keep singing and keep blessing us with. Amen. Listen, part of having honor is definitely having God's love running through our veins, but acknowledging that God is our help. Come on, gifted, redeemed singers. Help us understand that God is our help. Y'all be blessed in Jesus. Gospel experience. Y'all be blessed in Jesus' name.
You can try. Come on, man.